WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. For the first time in two decades, black legislators will lead powerful committees in the General Assembly. Meanwhile, Virginia's Republican representatives in the U.S. House are mostly mum on impeachment. And we return to the tiny town of Saxis on Virginia's eastern shore, struggling to be more resilient in the face of rising water. This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, November 15. Three African-American lawmakers are expected to lead powerful legislative committees next year in Virginia's House of Delegates. Black legislators have not led a House committee in two decades. Democratic delegate Eileen Fillerkorn, who is set to be the next House Speaker, announced the heads of four committees Thursday. Three of the four leaders are African-American. They are Delegate Luke Torian, who will lead the House Appropriations Committee, Delegate Gian Ward, who will lead the House Commerce and Labor Committee, and Delegate Rosalind Tyler, who will lead the House Education Committee. Many General Assembly Democrats campaigned on changing the way that guns and environmental issues are regulated. Part of that change may mean giving more flexibility to local governments. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Local control. Every county board of supervisors and city council wants more of it. But the way Virginia works, local governments have only the powers the General Assembly gives them and nothing more. So will Democrats be more willing to give local governments authority? Delegate Danica Rome says probably yes.
When you're dealing with more environmentally friendly bills, when you're dealing with a lot more environmental bills where localities are trying to figure out how they can best protect their environment, I think you're going to have a very permissive General Assembly as opposed to more restrictive, as we've seen.
She says Democrats will probably give more thought to allowing local governments to regulate guns or set their own minimum wage. Delegate Paul Krizek says the system has a bunch of restrictions on counties that no longer seem appropriate.
Yeah, we'll certainly be looking at knocking down some financial barriers between cities and towns counties so they're treated more similarly. The days when counties were solely rural are certainly over.
One thing that's not likely to go anywhere is the Dillon Rule. That's the legal principle that gives the General Assembly the ultimate power to decide what your local government has the power to do and not do. Michael Pope.
President Trump has appointed Ken Cuccinelli acting Deputy Secretary of Homeland Security on Wednesday, making him a top immigration official. As Ben Pavier from VPM News reports, Cuccinelli's hardline immigration stance was a key part of his political career in Virginia.
Cuccinelli served as Virginia's Republican Attorney General from 2010 to 2014. He gained national prominence with a legal opinion that allowed law enforcement to ask the immigration status of anyone they stopped. Cuccinelli said it would help keep Virginians safe. Luis Aguilar disagrees.
Has broken any kind of trust between the community and law enforcement.
Aguilar heads the Virginia chapter of the advocacy group CASA in Action. He says Cuccinelli's policies had a lasting impact.
Even our community to this day consider Virginia not a very welcoming state.
Cuccinelli has since moved on to the Trump administration, where he's overseen new restrictions on immigrants and asylum seekers.
Four of Virginia's 11 members of the House are Republicans, including Ben Klein of the 6th District and Denver Riggleman of the 5th, and most are not commenting on the impeachment hearings, at least not yet. Charles Fishburne with VPM News reports.
Whitman, Klein, and Griffith had no comment when we called, and political analyst Bob Halsworth says,
the Republicans, by and large, represent districts that are not swing districts any longer. They're heavily red districts, and they're going to be in line.
Only 5th District Congressman Denver Riggleman offered a prepared statement, saying the hearings have provided no evidence of wrongdoing and are purely a political show.
And that's very important for him because he's going to face a primary challenge from a person who's a supervisor in Campbell County, who also works at Liberty University, from a party that in many ways has been distressed by the fact that Denver Riggleman presided over a same-sex marriage.
Halsworth says we're not going to see many defections from Republicans in general, especially from Virginia.
The American Lung Association's latest cancer report says almost 6,000 Virginians will be diagnosed this year. Although the survival rate is improving, many more people could be saved with early screening. Charles Fishburne has that report.
Lung cancer is deadly.
Compared to even breast, colon, and prostate combined.
Dr. Bobby Mahajan repairs lung damage at Onova Fairfax and volunteers for the American Lung Association in Virginia. And he says outcomes are improving.
Early detection is the key, though.
Especially for high-risk people.
90% of patients with lung cancer are either past or current smokers.
He says it is important for them to get low-dose CT scans regularly.
Most insurance companies will cover this.
He says the 5-year survival rate is now 21%, up from 17% a decade ago. Charles Fishburne, WMRA News.
Finally today, the tiny town of Saxis on Virginia's eastern shore is learning to live with water. Like other communities around the Chesapeake Bay, residents are looking at solutions to the erosion and frequent flooding that comes with climate change. In part two of her report, Virginia Public Radio's Pamela D'Angelo learns how the town is trying to become more resilient.
The highest land on Saxis is 8 feet. Highest land on Tangier is 5.5, and the highest land on Smith is 4.5. Sea level's rising at 1.5 feet every 100 years. Do the math.
M.K. Miles is a retired civil engineer who grew up on Saxis. He remembers the damage from past storms, but Hurricane Sandy was a game changer. Small towns like Saxis and Tangier don't have the millions of dollars needed to match state and federal aid to build seawalls and other structures needed to be more resilient. With rising seas and more frequent storms, Saxis residents have become proactive. At the entrance to the town pier are two starkly different ways being taken to stem erosion. One, an experimental artificial reef of concrete and oyster shells. More than a dozen of them stand guard in the harbor parallel to the shore. On the shoreline next to the pier is a homegrown version, a massive jumbled pile of concrete and brick stairs and foundations a homeowner has used in an effort to protect his shoreline.
The guy here that owns all this land, he just, anything you got that's concrete or stone, just go dump it in my yard. See that?
Wow.
Well, he's right on the front line. During Sandy, man, he's taking it hard.
After Sandy, people's homes were flooded. A boat blocked the road to the mainland, and the harbor needed dredging for watermen to access the bay. Mayor Denise Struer is still thankful for the federal funds they were given.
If it hadn't been for Sandy, we might not have got the harbor redredged and disposal area rebuilt.
That's exactly right. We wouldn't have, because there wouldn't have been any money for it. So we lucked out there. We've lucked out in a lot of little different ways due to Sandy.
Still, Saxis is on a lot of wait lists to fix the main road, remedy drainage problems, and protect their shoreline. And while they did receive Sandy money, 10 homes on Saxis and in neighboring towns remain on a FEMA wait list to have their houses raised.
In my personal opinion, they're really not going to fund any of that until we have another disaster and there's new money about, and then those 10 houses would probably be the first one raised, and then perhaps they'd let us add 10 more.
Donna Krauscher, a Pennsylvanian, spends much of her time at her vacation home on Saxis and has become the mayor's point person for resilience projects. 18 months ago, she signed the town up for RAFT, a collaboration of experts from University of Virginia, William & Mary, and Old Dominion University that provides towns with a scorecard to assess their resilience. Out of 100 points, Saxis scored a 54.
But the whole point of the score was to help point out the areas where improvement would help us help ourselves.
They also met with the State Department of Forestry to plant trees that will absorb stormwater that puddles after heavy rains. More importantly, Krauscher says, the town is on VDOT's list to fix the main road to Saxis by putting in larger culverts to deal with more frequent storms and heavier rains.
Any information that people come to us with, we're open-armed. There are funding opportunities out there that we consistently review and, you know, try to see if it might be options for us. We're all really rolling up our sleeves over this last 18 months chasing a lot of this.
As much as Hurricane Sandy was a wake-up call, it also showed Saxis that it wasn't practical waiting for another disaster to get the money needed to raise homes, dredge the harbor, and pay for the expensive solutions that allow them to become more resilient. And like their neighbors on Tangier Island, they know there's not much public support to spend millions to save small islands and towns from rising seas. From the town of Saxis, I'm Pamela D'Angelo.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Friday.